When you enter a Spartan race, I mean, the distance vary, but it can be from 5, 6 miles to 13 miles. And through the course of the race, you come across obstacles. Sometimes it's over 30 obstacles. These obstacles include a rope climb, monkey bars, barbed wire crawl, cargo net, ladder climb, a wall climb, 100-pound stone carry, bucket carry, tire flip, and a spear throw. Regarding the spear throw, a contestant must be able to throw a spear some 20 to 30 feet into a target made of 2 or 3 bales of hay. And if he or she fails to stick the spear, in other words, that person has missed the mark, that individual then must do 30 burpees. If I didn't have a suit on, I'd show you what a burpee is, but I'm not going to do one. A burpee is strenuous, and I can tell you that zaps a lot of needed energy. And so the point is you don't want to miss the mark. You want to stick the spear. This statement, missing the mark, also applies to sin. Because one of the Greek words for sin in the New Testament, hamartia, which originally meant to miss the mark, is what I want you to understand. And it offers an important perspective on sin, on transgression. For sin is not only crossing the line, breaking God's law. Stealing, of course, is such an example of breaking God's law. But it is also the failure to do all that God requires us to do. God has certain standards for us to maintain, to follow, rules, laws to obey. In other words, when we sin, metaphorically, we are missing the target. We are missing, with our spear, our arrow, the mark of obeying God. And we see this fact throughout the New Testament. There are numbers of passages of Scripture where sin is identified, described as missing the mark. Chapter 3 of Romans declares that we miss the mark, we fall short of the glory of God when we sin. The most significant imagery evoked by the Hebrew word for sin does not relate to missing a mark, but rather to the effort necessary to lift and to carry a burden, which tells us sin creates a burden, an infinitely heavy load for every sinner to bear. And we see this metaphor of sin as a burden in a number of Old Testament passages. For example, in Genesis 4:13, Cain cries after he has murdered his brother Abel, "My iniquity is too great to bear." My iniquity is too great to bear. In Ezekiel, we read God speaking, "And ye shall bear the sins of your idols, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God." In Leviticus 24:15, God said to Moses, "And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin." And the prophet Micah declared in his prophecy in chapter 7, verse 9, "I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him." Turning to the book of Psalms, David said in Psalm 38, verse 4, "For my iniquities have gone over my head. They weigh like a burden too heavy for me." And so again, the point here is sin and iniquity are not just some abstract concepts. Rather, they are visualized as weights. And I might add, and I must add, heavy weights, literal burdens that we sinners really do carry. And those of us who are honest with ourselves understand exactly what I am saying. Sin that's not confessed, that's not forsaken, that's not put under the blood, is a heavy burden to bear. By the way, it's really an awful burden to bear. I can speak from experience. The guilty weight of sin gets pretty weighty pretty quickly. And because it's grievous to bear, we need a Savior. Now, as I mentioned earlier, a couple of the obstacles in the Spartan race are the stone or the Atlas carry and the bucket carry. I think I said before, it's 100 pounds that you have to carry from one point to another. But frankly, such loads become very, very heavy very, very quickly, especially after the contestant has run a number of miles and completed a number of other obstacles, which tells me what a relief it is to get to the end of the line for the stone carry and to finish the loop in the bucket carry, where then the burden is lifted, where it is removed, where it is discarded. Well, when you and I ask God for forgiveness, we really are asking God to bear our sin, our load, our burden, instead of us. Which teaches us that forgiveness is God lifting our burden of sin from us sinners, so that we no longer have to suffer under its oppression. Sin and its burden and its weight is very oppressive. Friends, Jesus carries the weight of sin for us. For example, Ezekiel 34:7 speaks of God as one who forgives, meaning he carries away our iniquity, our transgression, and our sin. And the Psalms similarly use this imagery to talk of God's forgiving nature. Psalm 25, verse 18 states, "Look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins." And so again, the sins of the psalmist himself, he had been bearing, but now he asks God to carry those sins instead. Friends, we can ask God to carry the burden and the guilt of our sins. Don't let that fly over you. We can literally ask God to bear our sins. I'm sure you recall the symbolism on the Day of Atonement. Once a year, a special activity took place representing the removal of sins from God's people. Leviticus chapter 16, verses 21 and 22 kind of relay this story. Let me read it for you. "And Aaron shall lay," and Aaron, of course, is the high priest, "shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him," in other words, carry upon him, "all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat into the wilderness." Again, in this priestly act, Aaron transferred the burden of sin from the people to a goat. He put his hands on that goat, symbolizing the sins of the people of Israel were placed on that goat. The burden, the guilt of the sins of Israel were placed on that goat. And then what did they do? They sent that goat away into the wilderness, never to return again. And what did this all declare? That the burden of the sin of Israel was gone. Well, in Isaiah 53, verse 6, the prophet tells us, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him," the what? "The iniquity, the guilt of us all." Friends, when we come to Jesus for salvation, for forgiveness of sin, Jesus bears, he carries away our sin. He lifts the burden, the guilt of our sin, that we have been wearily and constantly bearing. And he removes our sins so far away that Psalm 103, verse 12 tells us, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And he buries our sin and all of its sorrow, pain, and guilt in the depths of the sea. We read in Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19, "Who is a God like unto thee, or that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy." He delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. When you cast anything into the depth of an ocean or a lake or a sea, what happens? Whatever you dropped in, do you ever see it again? No. It's forever gone. I think of the hymn, "It is well with my soul, my sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross. And I, what? Bear it no more. Bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." And even after we're saved, how grateful we can be in knowing that when we do sin, and frankly we do sin, we can confess that sin, knowing that Jesus is faithful and just to what? Forgive us of that sin, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in so doing, he takes again the burden of our sin and carries it far, far away. And I shout hallelujah. What a wonderful and merciful and gracious and loving Savior. Friends, the church doesn't take away our sin. Our good works do not remove our sin. But Jesus takes not only our sin, but the burden and guilt of our sin forever away. Now, I wonder what would happen if we reframed our thinking about sin in these terms. I mean, maybe, just maybe, sin would seem less attractive, less desired, less enticing, given the fact that sin really does weigh us down. It really is such a heavy load to bear. Sin is a very heavy, destructive force upon your soul and mine. Well, perhaps then we would be less likely to trivialize God's grace, so wondrously witnessed, so greatly testified in his Son, who bears away this weight of sin when it is confessed and forsaken. I say, hopefully this grace-filled picture of Jesus bearing our sin will cause us to hate sin even more. I think of those verses in Isaiah chapter 53, "Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows." He hath borne our griefs. He hath carried our sorrows. "And we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." I close with a scene from John Bunyan's allegory, Pilgrim's Progress. When Christian runs to the cross, he immediately loses his burden of sin, which tumbles from his back and forever disappears in a tomb. And friends, it was at the cross where we first saw the light and the burden of our hearts was rolled away. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. My chains fell off. My heart was free. Oh my God, they found out me. And so my question is, are you like the person on my right, still trying to carry the weight of your sin? Or are you like Christian on my left, who at the cross saw his burden of guilt forever removed? Only Jesus, who had no sin, can carry the weight of all the sins of the world and rise triumphant over sin and death. And so I say, give your burden of sin to Jesus. Give it to him. You can do that right now. And if you have, and if you're doing that even right now, I say rejoice in him and give thanks to him for the freely given grace that he bestows when we say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me and save me for your sake. Him that cometh unto me, Christ said, I will in no wise cast out. All ye that are weary and are heavy laden, Christ said, I will give you what? Rest. Why are we weary? Why are we heavy laden? Because of sin. Because of sin. But he says, let me take that load of sin, and I, in its place, will give you rest. And we say, hallelujah. What a Savior.